Hello, this is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ in Omaha, Nebraska. This is today's Bible class. A short Bible study every single day, 7 days a week, about 13, 14 minutes usually, but it keeps us in God's Word, and that's important for the development and growth and strengthening of our faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Help people in your life grow in their faith. Help them come closer to God. Help them to start thinking about their soul's salvation. Help them to start thinking about eternity and a home in heaven. Share these studies with them through Facebook friends, text messages, and other technological means. Help them turn their life around. Love them that much. Help them come to God. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. We're talking about the fingerprints of God. Again, there are a lot of people who they're skeptical about God. They're uncertain about God. Does he really exist? And there are some who are outright atheists and declare emphatically, there is no God. When someone takes that particular position, they are hard-pressed to explain the evidence of God, I should say the evidences of God, which are so numerous, virtually without number, and the obvious design within our universe and within our world in which we live in this earth and within our own physical structure, our human bodies. Now, they would try to sound intellectual and say, well, you know, the universe exists because there was, and they'll spout some theoretical theory that's supposed to explain the existence of the universe. Understand, a theory is not fact. It's supposition. And all of those theories have proven to be unprovable because they're not true. When you take God out of the picture, you can't explain the existence of the universe in the form in which it is, in the synchronous design in which it is, in which we observe it. When you try to explain life upon this earth and our atmosphere and all of the intricate systems that work together in such a synchronous and interdependent and continually supporting one another fashion. You can't explain that by chance. You can't explain that by some chaotic event that brought everything kind of into order. Chaos does not produce order. Order can devolve into chaos, but chaos never progresses into order. Scientifically, that's impossible. So how do you explain away all of the evidences of a divine creator without finally admitting God? God. Now someone will say, well, you know, and we see this speculated and put forth in movies and books and so on all the time. Some race of beings from another planet that are far more highly developed in their intellectual capacities and abilities than we are in our human form in this earth. Eons ago, they came to this earth and they planted some kind of seed, and that seed developed into life. Well, where do they exist? Well, we don't know yet. Who are they? Well, we don't know that yet either. Another planet? Which segment of the universe is it found in? Well, we don't know yet. Well, let me ask you this profound question. Where did they come from? And now there's silence. Because you see, nothing comes from nothing. It's impossible. Things don't just all of a sudden spontaneously come into existence. That's impossible. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from the heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. How do we explain goodness without God? How do we explain goodness without God? Therefore, my heart is glad, verse 9, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We look also in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, he wrote about the foolishness of people who do not believe in God, but they worship some kind of creature. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his, that is God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. You see, the sophisticated, intellectual, scientific purist in his mind, and understand I'm saying in his own mind, that's how he would describe himself perhaps, he would say, perhaps only a fool would believe in God. But over and over again, we read the accounts in Scripture that the real fool is the one who does not believe in God, who tries to somehow explain him away in his own mind and tries to tell others to not believe in God. God's evidence is all around us. Again, we look at design in our world and in our universe, in our very atmosphere, in our physical lives, again, in the different systems that are so interdependent in the ongoing work of nature around us in this world. And that design demands a designer. God is that designer. We look at nature, and we see the evidences of God all around us in that nature. God's goodness, those evidences are all around us. James observed again, James 1 and verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In Romans chapter 8 and verses 28 and onward, we read this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God created us unique from everything else which he created. In that, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And then when you read through verses 27 and 28, he did exactly that. Now, what does that mean? That God made us in his own image. He created us with a soul. We understand inherently the very principle of goodness and its opposite, evil. No other animal, no other life form understands those principles. Only we do, because only we have been created with a soul, a spiritual being or essence within our physical bodies. God is spirit, remember. In that way, he created us with a spiritual reality. And in that way, we understand true goodness. And we understand through that goodness and its opposite, evil, we understand the reality of God. We're coming close to bringing this particular study to a close. I hope it is helping you to come to understand that God is real. God is the creator. God wants you to be with him in heaven forever. And that's why he loves you so much that he sent his son to die on that cross for you. Will you come to him? Let's pray. Father, help us to see the evidences of you all around us, and to never back down from the truthfulness that you are God, and there is none like you. Please forgive us, gracious Father, and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.